He said, vain do they worship me. It's a pretense, it's a falsehood. Brothers and sisters, he intends for you to open your mouths when you come into his house. Let it have the spirit of Miriam Magdalene. She bowed down, kissed his feet, and washed his feet with her tears. We said it all staunch arrogance. You come into Yah's house with a ruddiness. To have to feel, oh, that's the bow. And that's about the ritualists. Ritualism of the Pharisaic and the Sadducees, or those that call themselves Jews. But Pastor Robert, you're anti-Semitic. There's no such thing as a Semite. Be Shemite. No Semite. No Semite. I'm anti-false religion. Okay, whose mouth it comes out of? When I go to Atlanta, there may be some of the boys out of what they call the Hebrew Israelites. Last time I was there, one came out. I have no problem with them coming. You understand? They even go and listen to this preacher. You understand? I will not capitulate to their ways. Israel shall be known. She is being covered right now. She said, y'all just kind of got to lay back in here. Just like Yahshua was. Just like Yokohan the Immerser. Just like Dawid. Yes, I said, look at my fine sons. Look at their attributes. They're strong and powerful. 6'3". Yet he was a running little thing. But he was handsome. Nice looking. He's a handsome boy. He's ruddy. In the old prophet shirt, the knobby shirt, there's more than this boy. He said, I got one. He's out tending the sheep. And that's something that sprang forth in Shemuel's love. He said, send for him. That's the one. That's the one. And as he could hear the footsteps of Dawid stumbling through the brushes, his roar began to rise mightily. And he took the whore of Israel and said, that is the one. This is the one that Yah has elected. Not you, Daddy. But this is the one. He was hidden all of that masculinity. Come on here, hypocrites. He was hidden all of that, wasn't he? But Yah knew who he was. He had him. Just like HaMashiach. He was hidden in all of this debacleated mess of religion, ritualism. Hallelujah. He was hidden in all of that, wasn't he? And yet it was time for him to be revealed. He was revealed. He was the one that shall be offered up for the sins of Israel. And it was time for Israel to be revealed. She shall be revealed. And she will be offered up as a pure bride unto Yahweh. You see, this generation is trying to make a Israelite. You can't do it. Hallelujah. Before the foundations of the world, the Olam, he had preordained. He knew his house. His elect by birth. He knew them. Hallelujah. Well, I don't believe that. Did he destroy all except Noah? 8 people, the preacher of Siddiqah? He destroyed the whole world, didn't he? Did he destroy it? Did he destroy it? Did he go down where a man whose Ruah was vexed daily into Sodom and Gomorrah? And to make sure that Ruah, the spirit of that vileness, did not permeate, he destroyed that and all the surrounding plains? Did he not bring him out? Did he not bring him out? And he was entangled. Did he have 2 wives? He was entangled to a Jezebel. And the whore looked back and she became a hardened pillar of salt. You found out today the wives are turning back to this lustful way. And the husbands, I have men call me preachers and their wives because of their damnable fallenness, stupidity. Well, we are liberated. Honey, you have no liberation. You're bound. You're not free. That made you to be a slave. How are they free? It's only when Yahweh makes a man free, I can think, well, you don't think it has a measure up to what? Has been cultivated by some freak, some fool? That's the truth. We should be cultivated by the Torah of Yah. Don't you want the mind of HaMashiach? I know I do. I want to think like him. I want him to train my mind. I want him to train my mind. I don't want the scholars to train my mind. I don't want the intelligentsia of the world to train my mind. Hallelujah. I want Yah to train my mind. That I may do all things to please him. I'm getting older. You that are getting older. You know one thing for sure. I don't care what you're going to die one day. Your time is not as far as it's been. And that is the truth. And I understand that every day. And every day I want to do everything to please him. Everything. I do not want to go to bed without him correcting me. I don't want that. This is real to me. It's not some little false thing, some little religious practice, or some little thing to do. Nah. If that was the case, I would be out there playing a little basketball this morning. Come on, Brother Dale, let's go. Be at the gym somewhere. Trying to be in the best physical shape I could. Make myself look dynamic, godlike. That's what made Jotun think he was what he is. That's how he formed that identity of a God. Because he saw what Yah had done to him. He said, look at this. Can't nothing match this. Isn't that what this world is doing today? The T.D. Jakes and all these men, they tell them that that's what they all, they dress in these bizarre fashions that are just some faggot has designed, some perverter, some corrupt Jezebel, some transvestite, these punks, unclean thing. And these things, fashions coming to their minds, and they got women look like some freak out of some hell clown show, looking like a dumb head. These punks make you look like their daughters. Hallelujah. Make you look crazy as hell. They don't want you to look like a beautiful woman. A woman's beauty is not in some stack here of that high looking like a fool, your feet hurting. Silly woman. You can't tell me that you're not silly. You got on something that high. You can't hardly walk toes keen as that. You're a nuthead. I say it that way. You look stupid. Dressed on up to your buttocks and you can't hardly sit down. Someone's seeing your drawers and all that. You're pushing it down. Gut hanging over that. I'm being honest. I'm straightforward. No more different than some little old skinny leg man looking like a fool with some short pants on, shirt out, and a few knotty hairs in his chest and some big gold chain there. He looks like a stupid jackass. This image of a man is not the image of a man. What's the image of a man? You're looking at one. Well, I'm a man like you, then you know what a man is then. It's all right. Be a man like me. You have identified a man. That's not the beauty of Yahweh. It's in your meekness, your quietness, your not your boastness, your talking. It's in your quietness, your beauty. And I tell all of you daughters, nothing more precious than to have a beautiful, quiet woman. Man loves that. He doesn't think like you, I'm telling you. I don't think like Sister Roberts. I like my quiet moments. I like to think and do introspective researching and talk to my Abba. When I want to talk, I'll come. You understand? I'll talk. What I don't want to talk, I'll let you know. I don't want to talk. This is a serious issue. It's a serious matter, brothers and sisters. I can't be a charlatan. I can't be false. He says that this generation, they are teaching, he says in verse 9, listen to this now, but in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They all do that. They all do that. I do not care what the religious structure is. They teach for doctrine their own commandments. That's what they do. You got a little group over here that say that they are the messianic. Well, you got one over here. And if they do not have the cups in a certain order this way, then you're missing it all. It's a false, it's a vain worship. And all of that worship unto Yah, it was a metaphor of the fullness of Yahshua when he come that the bayat of Yah would be clean where the power of his Ruah would instruct man. It will instruct him from what is written. That's why Yahkahan said you need no man to teach you. When the Ruah comes, it will show you what's in you. We'll draw from the well of the written Torah of Yah. He has not left us alone. Hallelujah. That's all right, yeah. And so if you don't follow the precise precepts, well, they are just missing it. No, my friend. It is the word that makes us free. It is the truth. And Yah says, you're more of them, they're false. Your feast days are full of folly, laughter, bunch of jackasses and playing around, folly, women dressed like little Jezebels and showing off their ass. Yeah, use that. The scripture uses the word ass. Showing off their ass and the men, lustful as hell. And they're nothing but forays of just fleshly, sumptuous desire and delight. The Moedims of Yah were sober time. They were somber people. They came with the fear to worship Yah. Hallelujah. That's why on the day of Pentecost and Shavuot, they were all there. They were from every nation from under the sun. Elamites, Men of Mesopotamia, from Ethiopia, every nation, proselyte, yardims, and all, they were there. And the outpouring of the Ruah poured out upon them in the upper room. And they all heard the wonderful word of Yah. They heard the wonderful word of Yah in their own language. The power of this message revealed. And only then were the Mo'adim of Yah made real to them. It was not just some form of practice, some ritual ceremonial thing. It became a great memorial whereby his name was made known and the power and the essence of his name, where the tears flowed, where the great searching of one's heart, where the great Ahava poured out among each other, where they cleansed themselves, where they felt prostrate, where they had to feel. That's what it was. All they do today is have games and folly and sporting. Do you not understand that was one of the most powerful things that Hitler implemented in the schools today? Was called what we call physical education. That's why it's in the schools today. He was utilizing the people as a superior race. And that was the first thing he did. And all schools in America, do not have physical education? Every last one of them. That's the first thing he did. But he took power. Austria and all, physical education. That we were our supreme people. We're superb. A physical apparatus. A physical dimension. Shows that we're the supreme people. Hallelujah. And so throughout the process of breeding, you can produce a superb-minded people. And Yah knows that through the process of cultivating Yisrael, you'll produce an obedient, faithful people that Ahava. Yeah. He knows that. It's only then was the power of the word made revealed unto them, and the application of truth became genuine in them. They had gone through all of their ritualism, all of their little ceremonial things, and it did not produce nothing but a hatred, drove them farther away from Yah. And so when old Pharisaic Deacon Billy espoused to Pharisaic or Sadducees Deacon Horner, he said, "Well, Deacon, I want to tell you something now. The way you held your hand up there that day, you should have held it more this way. You had it kind of like that. That's wrong. Now what we need to do is put a stipulation in here in the law. Now, come on now. Well, okay, that your hands must be held at a certain degree, 33.2 point degrees, at an angle of five degree parallel, with a latitude of 2 degrees. That's not stupid. That's not complicated. You all can sit here like hypocrites all you want to. That's just a parallel of what they did to the Torah of Yah. That's what they did. Well, what you had, so Yah, because it was over to the side a little bit, it had to be like that. That's what they did. And so you have this ritual damnable trash that never produced a fruitfulness in the level of the people of Israel. And they continue to transgress against Yah. Raise up the Nobi here. And he will cry. And spare not this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said they will begin to teach doctrines, or they will teaching the doctrines. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You can't say what you want to. The Talmud is the commandments of men. It is not the commandment of Yah. And I've read excerpts. I don't care if they are Orthodox, Reform, liberal Jews. They all teach from the Talmud. I don't care what anyone says. And for you to follow the same order, I will follow HaMashiach. Shaul said, "Follow me as I follow him." They're not following Yahshua. They didn't have the power that. I said to Pastor Brady, they're not messianic. A messianic one is one that truly follow HaMashiach. And he did not allow them to encumber him with their little statues, their little ritualisms, whereby the liberty and the freedom of pure worship. Yah is looking for those to worship him purely. And when we worship him purely, brothers and sisters, we don't know what pure worship is. We don't know how to experience it. Because you don't lay down your burdens and your cares at the altar before you come before Yah. Your mind is steeped in your little old cares and your little thoughts, little things that burden you down. Yah, the Shabbat is the Shabbat unto us. It's the Shabbaton. Whereby we have the liberty to worship Yah. We're free. Our minds are rested. We're prepared. Hallelujah. That's what it is. It is a Shabbat. It is a day of rest. And we just come and rest in here. That's what we do. We eat bread and we go home and rest. And sleep. I love my Shabbat rest. Sometimes I just kick my heels up on my desk. It's just a robber. She's gone. I say, "Whoa, I slept an hour, man. I feel so refreshed. Then I can take time to study scripture." That's what it's for. I talked to one preacher. He said he went from 10 in the morning to 3 a.m. the next morning. You wear the folks out? Yeah, you do. That's no rest in that. They don't even begin to comprehend. If you set a table with so much on there, you eat so much, you can't even digest it all. You get greedy for what's on there. And then the most important things you need, you can't eat it. And so Yah prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. He does. What enemy? With your mind is an enemy against Yah? Your heart? And all of that. We're enemies. Yeah, I talked to this brother. He's out in Missouri. And that's what he told me. I said, man, that's, whoa, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a time of rest. He said, remember the Shabbat and keep it in Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Keep it set apart. Don't do the same activities in that time that you would on the sixth day or any other day. We keep it set apart. It is not a day of ritual practices. It's a day where our mind is free time. If we can do that on the Shabbat, every second of our lives can be spent to reverence Yah. We can keep our minds. We can worship Him. We come before Him with singing. We enter into the bier with singing in our lips, with praises in our voices. Hallelujah. It's amazing that this is a generation will keep those things that they think are the most vital. When Yah says, come before Him with singing and dancing. And they don't keep that part. You know something is wrong. It was strained out of that. Let me get back to the message. I want to feed you with something today, all right? Let me fill your bellies. Hallelujah. The teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. He goes on to say, and turn back to the seventh chapter, Matitiah. At a time of generation reject Torah. This is the spirit of that generation. It is the generation of deceit and falsehood. It says in Matitiah, Matthew 7, 5. Hamashiach says, he says, you hypocrites. You are a bunch of hypocrites. You are honav. You are full of lies and you got a bunch of shamanism and trickery. He said, first of all, cast out the beam out of your own eye. And then you shall see clearly how to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Then he commands them. He says, give not that which is kodosh, kadosh, to the dogs. Neither cast the pearls before the swines, lest they trap them under their feet, and they turn against you. He says that those of the house of Israel, I don't care if they're Ephraim, I don't care if they're Yehuda, he says that don't give that which is kodash unto them, they're dogs. Because they will not obey the Torah, they will not keep the Torah, they will not follow the Torah. They will look at a small thing in their brother's eye that's of the tribe of Yehuda, and then they got something that is much more vilifying than what their brother has. Do we not do that, Yehuda, Ephraim? We do that, don't we? Don't sit here like hypocrites on me. You see something small in the brother? Yah says you're a hypocrite. You hold the truth of Yah in lies. You see something small about a brother? You amplify that. He said, you don't see your hypocrisy. You don't see what hypocrites you are. He said, if you have that which is right, don't even give it to the dogs. Don't even give it to the swines. They trample it under their feet. They will turn and they will rent you. I tell you what, ask these brothers, Brother James, when he killed that wild hog over there, that thing, it would have rent him. It will turn and you run you down. So you have to cut the hog's neck. Kill it. Filthy thing. All hogs are filthy. Dogs too. Not clean things. So he said, the thing that I give unto you, don't try to give that to these dogs. The dogs, they reject Torah. They defy Torah. They're not going to obey the Torah of Yah. You have those that reject Hamashiach. And yet, in Shemoth, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. They shed the whole. What do you think the devil told me was for? It was the day that they just came in and ate their fried chicken and their grilled chicken. It must be the shedding of the dam, the blood. They deny Him. Then where is the blood shedding? Where is the offerings? Yahweh has not changed. For He has fulfilled all things. And Yahshua, Hamashiach. I'm so glad. Because you think about that little poor Pastor Babu. He wrote me that letter from India. He put nothing there but this. I plead you with you, brother. Please, don't forget us. Just for some bread and milk. This fat nation here, bunch of dogs. He said, please, I beg you. Please don't forget us. And how? Nothing else. And the page was blank. He just had that. Nothing else. What do you do with that? It smites one. It smote me. The tears flowed from the inward parts. Hallelujah. Israel. So he expected that man to sacrifice a lamb. He'd be in bad shape. We have what we call mutton here. Once it's over 1 year old, it is not a lamb. It is called mutton. Mutton. So when we eat basically mutton. A lamb is one that is less than 1 year old. That makes sense? Hallelujah. So a lamb is more expensive than mutton. You can go to the market, a yearling will cost you more than a cow. Because it's young, you get more per poundage for the yearling than you do the cow. So what would a man like that, Pastor Aji in Ghana, if they had to do all that, what would they do? So that's why we yada yada Yahshua. That's why that name of Yahshua is so sweet to us. It's a pleasant fragrant in our mouths. We cry to that name. And so they reject him. And he commands us that this is a generation of hypocrisy, steeped in lies. They teach the commandments, doctrines of men, and they give that which is kadosh to the dogs because they cannot discern Yisrael. They don't know the seed of Yisrael. He went to the lost house, the sheep, Yisrael. He came to seek and to save that. What was written in Israel, it was lost. That's what he came to seek and to save. That's all right. I like that part. That's all right by me. He came to seek and to save that. Yah said, I will write, I will do a brit milah. I will do a cutting of this damnable corrupt heart of Israel, and then I will write my Torah. So he came to seek and to save that. It had been hidden through this corruption of flesh, through these Pharisaic orders and laws and stipulations. It had been hidden. So he found that which was lost. He found it. Oh, Shaul, he had such a brilliant mind. All that which Yah had put in was lost. Lost. You ever tried to hide something and you lost it? Because you hid it in a place that was junky? If you want to hide something, you just put it right there where everybody would look over it. Because the first place someone's going to look is in the places whereby, you know, you think you want to hide it. Just lay it right there. I don't hide anything. I just put it right there. Hallelujah. For what? But they will never get that. And when you find it, it was right here all the time. She's been right there all the time in Israel. It was just hidden. That's why Hamashiach came to peel back these layers of stipulation, these laws and these rituals and these oral speculations of what Yah meant. That the Ruach could have his power to say, now you just do that. What? Remember the Shabbat. What are the Kibbutz Kodash? What is that just set apart? What do you mean? Just keep listening. Just repeat that more and more. The more you repeat it, the more it becomes alive in you. And so they made it complicated. That's what the Pharisees have done. And so they look at their brother because they don't, let me show you examples how they look at it. Because they don't have the regalia that they have. They don't wear their little yarmulke. They don't have their little plasteries. They're those that they have their plasteries. You're local here. Now he wrote it here. You put it in your old plaster here. You put it there. The Torah is there in man. You put it there. You don't have to read it every time I come in the Shabbat. It's drawn from there. Or they make a ritual that we will read from Shem Hoth. This is the reading of this day. And that comes more important. Just like those that of this race issue. That their skin color. That they worship the creature more than the creator. All they talk about the dark skinned people. All they talk about the white skinned people.
We are the true seed. The first 14 verses of the Bible is for us. What do 14? Another one, what that doctrine says for us. And they have not even suffered like that. Like, if anything, you go to that dark continent over there. If anybody suffered like that, it's them. Now, these fat folks in America. Come on, the people that doctrine, the 13th richest nation in the world. Come on, 20, 30 million. That ain't bad. Almost $1 trillion. They just don't know how to spend money. They need leaders to show them how to. And they will not be led. Because they're corrupt. There's one thing about a corrupt man. That's right, my deacon. Followers. They will not follow because they're corrupt. They're wicked. And the reason they think that everyone is going to shyster them because they're shysters. They're full of hell. To the pure, all things are pure. To those that are undefiled and unbelieving, then there is nothing at all pure. Nothing. We can't sense the purity of any brother, any sister. They cannot see the tongue of Yah operating in anyone. They can't see that. They truly cannot. They have no power to discern. That's why he says, you're looking at the small thing in your brother's eye and you're full of hell. You're full of ritualism. You think that they're doing it wrong. And then you cast the pearls of Yah before pigs, swines that mock it. That's this generation. Those that are wise, they will win the house of Israel. Wherever he leads me, and he's not leading this generation. He is not. He is not. He's leading Israel. He's leading the elect remnant of the seed. He's leading them. For those that are led by the Ruah of this written Torah of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. They are the elect of Yah. He's not leading America. He's not leading Africa. He's not leading China. He's not leading Britain. He's leading Israel. That's all he's leading. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says in the 16th chapter of Matitiya, I would have finished quite a bit of this. You'll bear with me. Whether you bear or not, I'm still going to finish it. Hallelujah. He says here, as these wicked folks ask for a sign, the Pharisees and Sadducees, give us proof. 16:1, Matitiya. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and they tempted or they testing HaMashiach, desiring him, that he would show them a sign from Hashemayim, the Shemayim. Show me something from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and overcast. He calls them, he says to them, oh, you Hanaf, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the times or the signs of the signs now of the time. He tells us this, a wicked and an adulterous generation. We are the offsprings of our forefathers. A wicked and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them, and he departed. Now, did he declare their status in this generation? He declared that they were wicked. He declared that they were lawless and total lustness. They were an adulterous, they were an idolatrous generation. What generation is more idolatrous than this generation? Tell me a generation that is more idolatrous than this generation. The strength of America permeates from the place they call Hollywood, the power of witchcraft. Your sons and your daughters are trained by the damnable televisions. Your mamas cannot abstain from them. You daddies, your eyes are consumed by them. It is one of the most powerful tools of hell that one could ever imagine. Holly, the witchcraft spirit, it bewitches the mind. You got time for Hollywood to make you go to Walmart and Toll March and Big Boy March and Little Girl March, but no time for Yah. You got time for the nickel dime and everything in there, just what it's worth, a nickel or a dime. You got time for that, but no time for inclining your left to the truth of Yah. He says you are wicked and an adulterous generation. He declares them to be hypocrites, your falsehood. You are the nature or the birth of falsehood. Do not we see that in the physical realm today? What they're doing today, they're taking women and they're bringing them to these Greek institutions we call school,
Phi Beta Kappa and all. That's what they, well, what do you think? Everything around them, even the one they call themselves United Negro College Funds, yet they all, everything about them is on the Greek, Greekly spirit. For the Greeks seek knowledge. And the Yadim, they're always seeking some kind of wonderment or some sign. Do they not? That is the truth. That's what the book says. And so they give them this Greek knowledge that calls them to be eclipsed to what we call goddess. Same thing with men, to make them gods. Elohim. That's what they make them. That's what they are. That's what a god or Elohim is. It is the power of man to choose his own path or his own direction. Has nothing to do with Yah. And so they eclipse this pinnacle. And the women today, they say, we don't need no man. We go to a sperm bank and we have a baby. Well, that's a falsehood. That's an unnatural thing. It is not the natural thing of Yah. He meant for a child to come through marriage. And his seed goes into the woman and she brings forth a child. I read to us other day whereby they're literally taking the DNA, the marrow of a woman, and they're producing seed for women to have babies with women. If that is not damnable, if that is not vile. You see, what Shaitan wants to do is eradicate man. What is man? The Yah says, I'm mindful of him and the son of man, that I visit him every day. I like man. He looks down and says, I like him. And the Melechim say, but the Most High, the flesh, he said, I know. But I still like him. As man, I made him. You were made excellent in your honor and your beauty. I made him from the mire of the earth. And I put breath in him. And I gave him a Torah. And I like him. And so what the enemy is going to do, he's going to try to destroy man. Come on, wives, that's why he uses you, and as he did in the beginning. You be a strength to your husband, man. He's not going to lead you wrong. And husband, man, as Yah commanded you, you love her. As how much you love this assembly, you love her. You don't give her to another man for another man to train her, to train her attitude. You don't do that. You allow Yah to do that. You don't put her under subjection and the bondage of some strange pervert that has disdain for her. She can't talk about Yah. She can't honor Yah. In her home, she may be cooking, and things may seem a little difficult. Don't have enough money. If she think about the top of Yah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he comes home and say, well, what's wrong with the chicken? I'm sorry. I was cooking it. It's the joy of Yah. This is what took me out here. I'll cook you. So he said, no, that's all right, baby. I like it like this. That's all right. Thank you, baby. Told her, my brother. Generation hypocrisy. This preacher brings it down to our level, doesn't he? Just to make it plain. So I can understand it. Hallelujah. And so he consumes that chicken. It's the best he's eaten. And her tears are great rejoicing. And he looks at her. He may not know how to express to her the words. Hallelujah. Just like we don't know how to express the Yah. He may not know how to, but she senses that. She senses he's pleased. And it gives him the strength to move beyond that level and to meet the expectation of his Most High. Are we not the bride of HaMashiach, Yah? And we are the insignia in the earth to prove that his testimony has validity, right? That's all right. This is a wicked and an adulterous generation. The reason it's wicked and adulterous because it is a generation of hypocrisy, falsehood, and lies, deceit. It cannot discern the time. And that's why the enemy has caused these doctrines of commandments of men to creep up. And they're everywhere. They have crept up. My, have they crept up. I hear from some of the strangest doctrines there are. You cannot find any stranger than these doctrines. They will call me Pastor Roberts. What do you think about that? You say, what do you think about it? Well, I believe that. Then all right then. What's the issue? You got a problem? No, I want to know what you think. I said, you already told me what you thought. So what's the issue? Well, brother, I just called to get enlightenment. No, you already enlightened. That's why you told me what you thought. Well, tell me you called for enlightenment. You're a fool. You called to show me that you think you have something, you have nothing. But a man thinking that he is something or he has something, he deceives himself. The truth of Yah is revealed unto Israel. That's why he raises up the order of his establishment. Chilesian nabis, evangelists, raha, pastors, and men that can extrapolate from this book by the Ru'ah of HaMashiach and inspire us to press on. And so they have not received that from Yah. Well, he talked to me. Man, Yahweh talked to you and you didn't tremble. He's talking to me today. And he creates his fear. But Yah physically, and these dogs say it all the time. I never did understand that one. I say, Yah, and I look examples in the scripture. When he talked to men, when he talked to Shaul down that road of Damascus, everything was smoked. The blindness, he felt, Pam! Pam! Sure he did. They tremble. And yet they say, well, of course, their God did talk to them. I believe that. Shatan. But when Yah speaks to a man, he has to go to, if that is the link that Yah has to go to speak to you, you are in sad shape. Because in sun-dried time, he spoke to us by the Nabis. And now he speaks to us in an excellent way by HaMashiach. And when Yahshua doesn't speak to you, you are a dismal, sad case. Hallelujah. You don't believe him. I believe you, Yah. Let Yahshua speak to me. Hallelujah. I want him to speak to me. Because when Yah speaks, the whole earth trembles. It thunders. It breaks. The fountains beneath break. And these men are so careless in their verbiage, what they say, they're liars. I have no problem with them say the Ru'ah of Yah put in my left. Now, I will buy that. But don't tell me he spoke to you. Don't tell me he spoke. Oh, I heard him. And what the Ru'ah draw from what is in your left. That's what it draws from. Well, I know folks don't like this, but that's all right. Hallelujah. I don't intend to make no friends. I don't mind that. Not at all. I am a warrior. And I fight to the finish. I lay down my life. And I don't bear the sword in vain. And a warrior makes sure that his sheath and his sword is always polished. And he can see the glitter of the presence of the eyes. So that's what I am. So I don't mind being combative. I don't mind the battles either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this hypocritical generation, they cannot discern that they're wicked. They cannot discern the adulterousness of this generation, the corruption. They cannot discern it. Brothers and sisters, can you discern what's in you? You only, when someone speaks, when Yah speaks to us, and shows us, only then the Ru'ah shows us. That's why we need to honor those and pray for those that Yah gives a word to speak to us. It's a foolish generation. We get upset. Did they get upset with HaMashiach told her? Did they get mad with him? Did they get mad when they wanted to kill him, the Pharisees, when they asked him a question to give him a disclosure about the other Caesar, that when he expressed unto them that they looked for a way to kill him, they said, this damn man, kill him. But his time just wasn't yet. They couldn't. Well, they talked like that. They wanted to kill him. Hallelujah. So it's a wicked and adulterous generation. It's a one that is very vile and very wicked. It is one that doesn't love Yah at all. Not one bit at all. David goes on to say back into Helium. Listen, you have that down. I want to read this. He says in Helium 119, verse 119. He goes back. I want to go back to that. He says, you put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore have I loved your testimony. Because we know that he's going to destroy. He's going to put the wicked away like dross. He's going to cause the wicked to rise to the top. That's what dross is. That unclean stuff that comes out of the purity of the mixture. And the dross is that dredge, is the stuff of stench. I remember when Bishop was alive, when they, even the last time Deacon Billy, the brothers, cooked the sugar cane, you can see that the filth that comes to the top, and you must skim that off. And the more you skim it, the more you cook it, the more crystallized and the more pure the cane becomes, the sweeter it becomes. And that dross, if you leave it in, it becomes bitter and nasty. It's like a slush in the jar. You can't even eat it. You can't use it for nothing at all. And Yah sends the fire of His truth unto a hypocritical generation, that the dross may rise to the top. So when Yah speaks to us, we get upset, we get angry, we get mad. We see our hostility toward Him in our attitude changing. And it's a reflection in our attitudes, how we feel toward what He commands us. And what Yah is trying to do is get the dross out of you, this filthiness, this thing that's going to damn your soul. That's what He tries to do. So He must send forth a fire. He cannot send forth a little cold cup of water. Throw the cold cup of water, you say, ooh, and then you go about your way. Fire comes, you run. You got to get back from the fire. That fire reaches out and touches you. It consumes everything. It burns up everything. It doesn't spare anything. He said, that's why I love your testimony. Do we love the testimony of the witness of Yahshua? He said, my flesh. Now listen now. Dawid said, my flesh tremble for fear of Yahweh. Do your flesh tremble for the fear of Yahweh? Do you fear Him? He said, my flesh, our flesh is verbose, is boastful, full of pride. Well, I know what Pastor Robert said, but I've been taught another way. Your teaching is wrong. Shaul was taught another way, but it was wrong. And at times your teachings placate with your flesh or give your flesh strength, you know it's wrong. But when it sets a fire to it, you know that this is what I need. He says, my flesh tremble for fear of you, Yah, and I am afraid. Does he say that? I'm afraid of your mishpatim. Are you afraid of the judgment of Yah? We're not afraid of the judgment of Yah. You see how quiet you are? Hallelujah. We're not afraid of His judgment. See, the whole house has taught us, you do your own thing. So you bring those damnable concepts into the way of Yah. You cannot build upon a crooked foundation. You got to tear it down. You got to go back to Hamashiach. You cannot build upon that. You cannot build upon a foundation that is crooked. Believe me. We're digging the foundations of this building out here. I said to Deacon Horn and Brother Allen, I say, Doug Pat, well, I know my back is getting old. I don't like bending down that far laying them blocks because they get heavy and they hurt. So I say to the brothers, let us do something. Save a little money. And I'm thinking about my back. Well, I will have these brothers get those ends. I will get on the spot where I will have to bend so far and to lay the foundation. But do you all see how deep we had to go in that ground? That's just for the foundation. You will never see those blocks. You got to pour concrete down there. But you got to do that. If we lay it upon that sand, it's going to fail. You got to put a foundation. So you can't build upon a false foundation. You got to tear it out. And lay the foundation of Iman, truth. And once you lay that foundation, you allow the chief cornerstone, Hamashiach, to draw from the source that Yah has placed in you. And then you began to build. And you began to see the Bayit erected. And where by the Ruah of Yah dwells, you began to see the power of Yah in the midst too. That's why we don't see it today. It's not that. You can say what you want. His people ought to be, as Deacon Benny reminded us and reminds us, we ought to be like a city that sits upon a hill. The visibility of the power of Yahshua cannot be hid. We have become so a part of the social activity of the world. We look like the world. We are dim like the world. And there's no light that's shining. And that's why the Gentile, to me, is a misnomer. But the Gentile, that's what Israel is. Just a bunch of misfits, worldly heathens. Period. Hallelujah. Now that will cause some of the ones to get upset, but that's all right. I like to arouse the enemy because I'm a warrior. I like to fight. I'm tenacious. I don't give up easily. Not when it comes to defending this. Yeshaya says, listen to this quickly. I want to read this expeditiously. Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28, verse 14. When you find a people that are led by this falsehood, this spirit of falsehood, this hypocrisy, you will find a people that is a very scornful people that mocks Yah. It says in Yeshaya 28:14, he says, therefore hear the word of Yahweh. Is that what he commands us? And if I'm not preaching the word of Yah, run, my brothers and sisters. He said, therefore hear the word of Yahweh, you scornful, you mocking men, you that scorn Yah, that mock Him, that rule this people who is in Yisrael. Now that which is in Yisrael in Jerusalem today, they call themselves Yisraelites. I do not believe. Do I believe that there are some there? Sure. But it is not the seed of Yisrael. They're just what they are, Zionists. They're false pretense. They're ruling the people. The city there is, it has become the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Every kind of horror, every kind of foul thing. Everything is there. And so people give great credence to that because of the way they look, because of the way they dress. When I was down here at the prison here in Saltus the other week, there was one that called himself, quote, a rabbi. He had his little yarmulke and all of that. And everybody was just, engrossed with acknowledging him. And so woman with his belly about this big, he looks at me. They were full of folly, this damnable spirit. And of course, I look at men like that. I say, you fool. I don't go that way. He looks at me and says, you, because they had this folly, this laughter, and this man that calls himself the rabbi, this jocularity and foolishness. Damn fools. And so I will not participate. I'm a city. I'm different. I'm set apart. So one looks at me with his gut out about here and says to me, you're just about as happy as we are. I looked at him, I said, I'm a contented man. He didn't say nothing else to me, you understand? I will not participate. He was just as foolish as that. Stupidity, childlike, foolishness was not the Ru'ah of Yah at all. This is the time to be sober. It's not the time to be foolish. And because he had on this little hat, and his tizzles and all of that, you know, that was a sign to them. And yet they had a man of Yah in the midst, just like Yahshua's in the midst. They could not discern. They didn't know him. They could discern the Pharisees, couldn't they? Because they stood in the marketplace with their pilasteries. Oh, the Most High. Nobody's around. Oh. That's the way they did it. The Republicans just said, I'm a wicked thing. I'm miserably wicked. They wanted everybody to see them. That's the truth. Come on. But he went and hid himself and said, I'm so ashamed of all of my ways. Forgive me. Oh, forgive me. And they stood up. And when there were no one looking, then they could straighten themselves up. When they fasted, they were, oh, brother, I've been fasting for 3 days. Well, you, a gut like that, you ought to fast for 10 days. I haven't had food in a few days. Oh, brother, can you bear me up? A spiritual man needs to be bear. That's what they did. They have on their plasteries there. Well, I know y'all. And you omit the most weightier thing?
What thing, preacher?
The mishpat, damn judgment. You have not even judged yourself. You don't even see yourself, my friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may not have many friends when I finish with that song. But a friend will stick closer than a brother, will he not? All right. So if you're my friend, you will stick close. Stay close now. Stay close. Stay close by. Don't get lost now. Stay close by me. Here. So Yah spoke, you scornful people. Those that rule in Jerusalem, those that have the what we think have the spiritual authority to dictate and to combine what scriptures say. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell Sheol, are we in agreement? When the overflowing, listen now, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, they say this, it shall not come to us. Now you have those ones that think that they're going back to Israel, that when the scourge come through, it's not going to come near to them. Every nation, he's going to rip these nations to hell. I have those that say, we're moving here, we're moving to South America. I say, he's coming to South America. He's going to rip this earth I don't care whether in Palestine, Israel, in Iraq, Iran, China, Russia, and the remote places. When the terror of Yah woe unto them that desire the day of Yahweh. For His vengeance, His terror shall fill the whole world. So they're not going to hide in the land they call Israel or Palestine or Iraq or America. This is Jezebel. Let us run into HaMashiach and hide ourselves while the indignation or the scourging of Yah passed over. Didn't they not hide in the houses of Mizraim? Were the blood, was the blood on the doorpost and the lintel? So we better make sure that we're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Just hide ourselves for a little while. Until this very fiery indignation and this fire of Yah pass over. And once this fire pass over, then we're going to be refined. We're going to be the refined ones of Yahweh. We will have the refineness of Almighty Yah. Hallelujah. He said, while the purge pass through, it shall not come nigh to us what they say. For we have made lies. Is that what it says? Does it say that? L-I-E-S, our what? Our what? Refuge. And Yah says that every word of Yahweh is pure, and His servants, it is a refuge unto them. So this generation has made lies its refuge, and under what? Under what? We have done what? Hid ourselves. That's what they've done. They have hid themselves under this religious ornament of falsehood. They have hidden themselves on this religious gala of their dress. I'm telling you all something here, my brothers and sisters. That's how this religious world has hid itself. It has hidden himself under these natural things, of these things that look to be nice and look to be real, and yet it doesn't produce anything in the left. It doesn't produce the strength of Yahweh at all. They have hidden themselves under falsehood. On the hypocrisy. They pretend to be a brother and they are not brothers. They pretend to be sisters and they're full of lies. They pretend that they have the Ahava of Yah for you and they're full of damnable lies to carry out their little own escapades. We're here to carry out the will of Yah and to obey Him and to please Him. They came to HaMashiach one time asking Him questions. And scripture says that Yahshua, He perceived their wickedness. He knew that they were wicked. And He asked them this question. He said to them, Pharisees and scribes, He says, why do you tempt me, attest me, you hypocrites? You men of falsehood. That's what He called them. But they came to try Him. They came to tempt Him. Turn back to Matithiah, Matthew 23. I'm going to close here, but I want to read something from the Apocrypha too. It's beautiful. And I think that it will bless your lab. But I want to read this first. It says here in Matithiah, Matthew 23, verse 24. This is a generation of blind guides. He says, you blind guides, you leaders of the people. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and you swallow the camel. He says unto them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And look what He calls them. He says, woe unto you, Hanath, you hypocrites. This is what they do. Listen, brothers and sisters. He said, you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, the dish. He said, but within you're full of extortion and excess unrighteousness, what He is saying there. He says, you make the appearance look right. You have the gala, you have the clothing, and it looks right. He said, but within you are extortionists. You rob from Yah. You take away from the beauty of Yahshua. You destroy the power of the light of Yahshua. He said, you're full of extortion and excess. He said, you blind Pharisees. Look what He tells them first now. He says, first, He said, cleanse first. Make clean first that which is within the cup. And the platter. Make sure you stop polluting the word of Yah. Make sure you stop using the Torah for some little sect or some little group. He said, you make that right, what you're putting in the cup, in the body, or in the, in that thing in you, which way you pour it out unto the people. Make sure you clean the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also. You may have appearance that you're right, but the inside you're full of extortion and unrighteousness. You don't have the Torah of Yah guiding you. You have traditions of men and rituals of men guiding you. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like the whited tomb of the whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outside. Oh, your philosophy on your arm and your platters and your cups in the bayit, they appear so wonderful. Ah, what a beauty it is. He says, but are within full of dead men bones and of all. Does it say that call all? Does it say all? Does it say all? All uncleanliness. So when something is unclean, you cannot make it clean. You got to put that to the fire. You must begin afresh. He said, your ways are full of all uncleanness. He says, even so, you also outwardly appear tzedakah to men. You look right. The rabbi, he looked nice. He looked right. Black suit, white shirt, his yarmulke, everything. You appear to be right. You're full. You appear to be right. But within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity and Torah lessness. And that's what that is. Torah lessness. You're not guided by the Torah. And when you substitute the Torah for the Talmud, the Apocrypha, or any book, then you're wrong. For the Torah of Yah came by the voice of Yah, written on tables of stone on the front and the back. And he gave it unto the Nabi, the prophet Moshe, unto Israel. He did not give it to the Hittites, the Jebusites, he gave it to Israel. Hallelujah. That's who he gave it to. He said, you're without the Torah, woe unto you, verse 29, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. He continued to reiterate this word hypocrisy. Hypocrites. He said, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the tzaddikim. You build the tombs of the prophets. You garnish. You make the righteous. You make the sepulchres look all beautiful. And say, this is what they say, if we had been in those days of our Abbot, we would have not been partakers with them in the dam or the blood of the Nabi. If we had been there with Yahshua, we would have followed him. Liars. He's given you an excellent truth that you believe it by Imuna, and you can't even follow him. He's given you the measure of the Imuna of Yah, and you cannot follow him. You'd have been there, you'd have been just as cowardly as the rest of them. You'd have helped destroy him and impale him on that stake. That's what you would have done. Your sins, the conviction of your transgressions. That's why they're trying to destroy him now. They will lift up the Nabis. And Hamashiach said, from Moshe unto Melechai, they prophesied and they talked of me. Where are their messiahs? Wherefore, you are witness against yourself, that you are the children of them which murdered the Nabi. And anytime Yah raises up a Nabi, he's going to be killed. These damn dogs today, they're not the Nabi of Yah. They're false pseudo men raised up by hell. Feed delicacies of vomit, of the table of vomit. They feed them fleshly analogies of things and institute this craving and this lust. That's what they do. You can tell they were wicked men because they always had to ask questions. It's one thing that when you will find when someone is wise, listen to me. When you find someone that is wise, they will hear. A wise man will hear and become wiser. When you find folks, I got a question. That's a jackass. That's a fool. That's a fool. Questions never answer. Never brings the answer. Never brings the satisfaction. What brings the satisfaction is hearing and understanding. That's why he says, in all you get understanding. A wise man, he receives reproof, and he becomes wiser. But when a fool hears reproof, he has a question. Hold up, Pastor Roberts. I remember when I was up at the Unity Conference that year, and I said, no question, shut your mouth. That's your problem. You've asked too many questions. That hasn't done you anything. Well, they rose up at me like beasts in a field. They got mad as hell. They were ready to kick me out of there. Sure they did. I said, shut your mouth. Hear what I have to say. So you're not going to do me like you did all these other men. I will not allow you to do it. You need to hear it. Is that what Scripture says? He that hath ear, let him hear
Where do questions come from? They didn't have ears. That's why they asked. How many questions did they?
Rich young ruler said, tough master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? Tell me. He was an arrogant piece. He was rich. He was powerful.
He says, what does the Torah says? He dealt with a lot of six. Love your neighbor. That's not murder. Commit adultery. He says to him, well, he says, I've kept all those things from my youth up. Spartan in that area. How much he says, beautiful. I like that. He says, but you know a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. He said, yet you like one thing. Just one little thing. He says, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. And come follow me. He says, go to take all that and more. And the scripture says that the rich young ruler, he turned and he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had much. He had much. And that's why these men are not willing to turn away from their ritualism and their false outward appearance of what appears to be right. And yet inside they're full of extortion and dead men bone. And there's no life in them at all. So they're not going to turn away from that. Because it makes them fat. Told them, my brother. Nay, they will not turn away. He goes on to say to them, Matithiah 23. He says, in verse 32, fill you up than the measure of your avat. He says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? How are you going to escape? How is this generation going to escape? It's a generation of serpents. The atlas. The poisonous asp. They're not going to escape. And America is the snake of snakes. That which is in Jerusalem, that rule Jerusalem, they're snakes and perverts and dogs. If you say that, then you anti this. You anti black folks, anti white folks, and black folks, and white folks, and Hebrew Israelites. They're full of hell, full of wickedness. I'm pro Yah. I'm pro Yahweh. For in him I find my Hamashiach, Yahshua. So I'm pro Yah. I want to walk the way that Yahshua walked. And everywhere he walked, riddled. And caused those that were corrupt to be upset with what he did. The Pharisaic order and the Sadducees, those that governed the Torah and wrote and added because the little whore's granddaughter was wicked. So they wrote something to be anesthetic or to please the mama. Well, we don't have to do it. I'll tell you what, let us write another stipulation here. He gives us a pure law or pure Torah. And it brings us to his presence. That's what the Torah does, brothers and sisters. That's why Christianity and all of these folks, that's why those that call themselves Jews and all, they fight against that. That's only one way. I don't care what folks say. Well, I had someone to write me and says, you're dogmatic. Well, they didn't realize how dogmatic they were. Telling me I'm that way because I stand with certainty of my way, and yet they stand with the same certainty of that way. I said, you ignorant jackass. You don't even know what you're saying. I say, thank you for that. Thank you for that judgment. I appreciate that. I really appreciate those words. They're kind words to me. That lets me know that I'm standing where I should stand. I bless you. Sure I did. She was a fool. I want to read this before I close. It's in Shurak. You don't have this. But I want you to hear this. It's profound. It's profound. It says here in Shurak, if you desire wisdom, keep the Torah, and Yahweh will supply it to you. For the fear of Yahweh is wisdom and instruction. Yahweh delights in fidelity and meekness. Do not disobey the fear of Yahweh. Do not approach him with a divided mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, isn't he? Be not a hypocrite in men's sight, but keep watch over your lips. Do not exalt yourself unless you fall, and thus bring dishonor upon yourself. Yahweh will reveal your secrets and cast you down in the middle of the congregation. Because you did not come in the fear of Yahweh, and your lev was full of deceit. See, when a man's heart is full of lies, he will not come in the fear of Yahweh.
Sirach 1:26. It says also in Sirach 32:14, he who fear Yahweh will accept his discipline. So when you don't accept the disciplines of Yah, you don't fear him. And those who rise up early to seek him will find favor. That's another thing. I believe that you find favor when Yah, when you rise up. See, a little folding of hand, a little slumber, a little sleep, then it brings poverty, doesn't it? So when you rise up early in the morning, you will find favor with Yah. He who seeks the Torah will be filled with it. But a hypocrite will stumble at it. Well, preacher, I know it says that, but those who fear Yahweh, listen to this. I don't care if it's in their pocket, for this is sound truth here. Those who fear Yahweh will form true mishpatim judgment. And like a light, they will kindle righteous tzedakah deeds. They will do righteous. A sinful man, a wicked man, will shun reproof and will find, listen now, find a decision according to his lacking. See, a sinful man, he doesn't want reproof. He shuns that. He finds a decision that he can accept. That is apathy to him. A man of mishpatim of judgment will not overlook an idea. And an insolent and proud man will be covered, cowered in fear. And that is the truth. But a man fears Yah, he loves his mishpatim. I want you all to read Yaakov 3:17. You study that on this week. Yaakov, James 3:17. Will enrich you and enlighten you and strengthen you in the way of Yah. Abruptly, I'm going to close here. May Yah enrich you all today. Bless you all that are listening on live stream. May the word of Yah fill your love, cause you to be enlightened. Brother Michael, Sister Michaelah, my friend Brother Alex, we brought you all today, our listeners. Wherever you're listening from, wherever state, city, and Pastor Fenton down there in Jacksonville, Florida, wherever you all are, we barak you today. Brother Ricky there in Atlanta, we barak you. Hallelujah. Nice crowd today. The house will be full. So we barak you all. May the shalom of Yah rest upon you mightily, because you'll have to delight in HaMashiach. I'm happy today. And I say that with all sincerity. I'm happy. I'm broke. Don't have a dime to my name. But I'm happy. I am. I have Yeshua. I have a little truth. Just a little truth. That's enough. Hallelujah. Enough to keep me in the way. Enough to keep me wanting. Enough to keep that appetite yearning. Hallelujah. And that's important. And so I brak Yah for that. I bless him. You may the shalom of Yah. I do pray that he bless you today and strengthen your love. May he cause his word to reverberate in your inward parts. I'm just a crude preacher. I have no polish, ways at all. I just simply display to you what's in the book. And Yah is an austere man. He's austere. He's tough. He reaps where he sows. He picks up where he lays not. For the earth, the fullness thereof, it belongs to him. And the only way he's going to refine us, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you cannot refine any work of art of mastery without delicate attention and details. And the subtlety of the details are what people, the nuances of that subtlety is what people, when they look at, oh, that Rembrandt, oh, what, you look a piece of trash. We will have something that is steel and the lines are just precise, would we not? Rembrandt. You look at that, if you don't have the wisdom how to observe that, then you look at the man, look at it. This fellow, he had to be on something to paint this. Feel like he just sloshed some paint here. But the layers and the interaction of the paint and the way the swooshes of the brush, it all has its conveying of the idea, what he's trying to convey. It's more than just a picture. The picture is just a stroke of the brush that conveys the importance of the picture. So that's what they are. So it is. Should the word may not be sweet in our mouths, it be bitter. But we let it resonate in our bellies, it will become sweet and fragrant with the flavor of Yah. And you begin to rejoice and say, Dota Yah, for your kindness toward me, that you consider me. I was telling Pastor Brady, it's one thing I told my mother, you all have heard the story,
My mother, she was not even in the hospital, so I went there to visit her. I knew no one would be there, so I went. And I said to her that day, because my mother, she used to whip the fire to me. She used to bust my butt. All the other children, she did not whip me. And so that day I said to her, I said, I know why you whipped me, because my daddy, you loved him and he didn't love you. That's so sure. She was a pretty girl. Little daddy, he was. I said, no, that's the reason why. I see, you liked him and he didn't like you, a woman. She said, no, because my father was younger than my mother. I've seen the man, a big, strong, masculine man. I saw him one time when I was 25 years old. Only time I ever saw him. Never spoke to the man, never met him. But I saw him that day. I was about 25 years old. And I saw this man, he had a command. There was a bunch of men around him, and of course he stood with great tenacity. He really did. And so you could tell all the men, they were listening to him. He had command of the conversation. He really did. And I was about as far as from here, maybe to that, beyond those cars. And I watched the man. But I knew that was the man that my mother said was my father. So I knew that was the man. That was identity, because that was his name. I knew that was him. I never met him, but I knew him. So I said to her, because he didn't like you, and he did not marry you, that's why you whipped me like that. She said, oh, boy, your daddy loved. How could I have it? It's okay. But I remember saying this to her. I said, Mama, I appreciate every whipping you gave me. And there were times that you should have whipped me, and you didn't whip me. You did not cause me to be dysfunctional or anything. Everyone that I got, I was deserving. And I bless you for that. Hallelujah. So that's what he had. Every son that he received, he chastened, does he not? And he scourges them before you go to bed. Hallelujah. May he barak you. May he strengthen you. May he cause your heart to delight. May God enrich you all. May your heart be encouraged. Come on, y'all. You know what I want to sing. Come on. Come on, Brother Patrick. Come on, Sister Robert. My song. I know we'll get back to our other song, but I love this one. Hallelujah. You that are listening on the live stream, may Yah barak you today. May your levy fill with the gladness of Yah. May he cause you to delight mightily in this word today. Be strengthened. We'll have our you all. Bless you all, our friend. Brother James, Jerome James down there in Dallas, Texas. McKinney, may Yah barak you today. Bless you, my brother. I hope you're doing fine. Yah barak you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We do barak Yah for all things today. We told you are Abba. We cry Yada Yah for the excellence of praises and worship. We pour out unto you in Yahshua the Lamb. Help us all today. Give us strength. Those that are listening, I pray for all of them, every home that is represented. We barak you, Yah, for the simplicity of this truth, that our love may be made to home for you, Yah. That your word may dwell richly. Your cleansing power for Yisrael. Help us all today, I do pray, to feel that you empty us out and make us afresh and anew in Yahshua's mighty name. Yisrael cried, hallelujah. 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 Shalom, shalom.